So let's pray over the word and then we can get started. Father, I thank you so much for the word of God. Father, it's my life now. Anything outside of it is not life. And so, Father, as I inhale and breathe this word daily as your minister, Father, I pray that your people have ears to hear and they take off with it as well. And so, Father, anoint the ears to hear. May they take control of their natural mind and bring it into submission to hearing what the Spirit has to say today. Father, may I be a vessel that doesn't preach my knowledge or understanding, but that which the Holy Spirit has imparted to me as my teacher. And so, Father, we give you honor and praise and glory over your word today and how important it is. It's so important, especially for your people. So as I serve your word, dear Heavenly Father, and have respect unto you, Father, I hope your people hear the word today, because that's what a church is really all about. I hope they don't judge their conclusion by what they see, but what they hear. So important. So anoint, Father, in a wonderful and beautiful way. Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is coming down to a conclusion, or he wants to give some information to the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church had gotten caught up in the glory of men. And what I mean by the glory of men, I call it today being churched. And many Christians draw their discernment or their conclusion by what they see more than what they hear. And so that's why you can attend a church and you can be dissatisfied with the appearance of it. But what about what comes out of that church? What is coming from the pulpit? What is being taught to you? That's the thing. And it's not the glory of men. Now, Paul fought that constantly. He always fought the glory of men. I never could figure out who these ministers were until I know now who they were. They were men that came with enticing words and a glory about them, that men began to follow them rather than the source of information that was to come out of them. That's why he always struggled with those that had PhDs, you know, long documents of, authorization from other ministers, and he fought that all the time because he had none, you know. The only thing he had was the approval of the previous 11 apostles that had gone on, that had been attached to Jesus until he got attached to the Lord, you know. And so he didn't have any credentials to really prove who he was, but he says, the proof of what I have is found in you, what I'm able to deposit in you, and the results that you're getting from what I'm teaching. That's what all that really matters. So it doesn't matter whether I have a post-hole digger thing on my wall or not. You know, ordination doesn't mean anything to me. It really doesn't. But what matters to me is what God's able to put into my heart, you know, so I can share it with you. That's what counts. Why? Because my joy is to see the life of God working out and through you. Praise God. That's what it's really all about. Amen. And so Paul was having a struggle with the Corinthian church because we're into the glory of men, which he brings up very clearly in chapter 3. When he talked about men being in the glory of men. And boy, you see it today, just horrible. And Christians are churched, and that's sad. And Paul said, you know, you talk about my words being weighty. They can add spiritual muscle to you. You know, you say my letters are excellent. He says, but when you see me in appearance, he says, my speech does not turn you on. It's contemptible. And my bodily presence looks horrible. And so you have a hard time receiving what I got to say. But know this, even though you give recognition to my letters, know that what is in my letters is in me. So it doesn't matter what I look like or how I speak. What counts is what comes out of me. That's the key. Hallelujah. And so Paul did not want men to know that he was preaching enticing words of man's wisdom to gain their admiration and their respect. What he wanted them to do is understand where the source of all revelation comes from. Whether you're called to be a teacher or you're called to be a pew setter, it doesn't matter. You have to know where the source of all information comes from. And the body of Christ, the only one qualified to teach the body of Christ today in spite of the glory of men, is the Holy Spirit. And so your teachers have to be plugged into the Holy Ghost, and it has to come out their mouth. You can detect whether a man has the Holy Spirit as his source or not, because there's things that he says all the time that comes out of him, knowing that his source is the Holy Spirit. One is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. That's one good sign that your mentor, your teacher, is plugged into God. Number two, the time he spends with God. He has to let you know that he spends that time. Number three, mortification of his flesh, the works of his flesh. When you're in the presence of God, God purges you from darkness, and he brings you into light. And he removes also all the excuses that he has over his life. And then, therefore, he qualifies to minister to you because his teacher is the Holy Ghost. And so when you receive it from me, it's the same thing. It's revelation that has birthed in me from the Holy Ghost, and it's given to you. Not all of us are called to be teachers. Not all of us are called to understand how to bring that mind from the mind of your spirit over into the natural soul. Not all of us are called to do that. But there is a certain element of truth that our soul can comprehend concerning the Word of God. How many understand what I'm talking about? Your soul has the ability, which is your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and your personality. Your soul is you. And believe it or not, before you came into existence, when you were conceived, there was an immaterial part of you that came into being, and one of it was called the soul. Your soul, it was literally brought forth out of no substance. You have a soul that has no substance. Then another part of you that was brought forth is your spirit, and your spirit has no substance. And so what happened is, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, actually what took place was two parts of you that had no substance was given substance. David talks about that over in the Psalms. He says that yet when there was none of them was fully formed, there I was in embryo state. He says there was a record of my life that was entered in to eternal life. That's the conception he was talking about. And he says that when that took place, there was a part of me that was immaterial that took on substance. And your soul and your spirit took on substance with your physical brain and your physical body. Are you following me? And that's why we get the understanding of spirit, soul, and body. But now what has happened is the Old Testament saints did not have the ability that we've got today, and that is to search the kingdom of God out through our spirits. They didn't have that ability in the Old Testament. That's why God couldn't purge them as sons and daughters. They were considered just slaves in the kingdom of God, but now we're placed as sons and daughters. And the thing about the kingdom of God in the New Testament is the fact that we're born again. We're born from above. And God did something so wonderful in our spirit. What he did is he took out the old nature that was programmed into our spirit. He removed it altogether so that it will, our spirit no longer energizes or produces sin. It now has a chance to stand against sin, and that's where your God consciousness comes from at the new birth. And then he put into us his life and nature into our spirit to combat our soul, our natural mind, and to combat our physical body. And when I discovered this concept, this truth, that I serve God now out of my spirit, how free I got. Oh, how free I got. Because you see, I was running around trying to serve God out of my soul, which gives you a never-ending circle of frustration and worry and confusion and doubt and unbelief and question. And yet we've got doctrines that are born of men today, the same garbage that goes forth and brings us even into more confusion. But thank God the Holy Spirit is my teacher. I thank God he called me to be a teacher. There was a time I wouldn't admit to that, but I do believe that I've been called into being a teacher in the body of Christ, because I understand more clearly now how to draw the mind of God out through Scripture. Hallelujah. Because my soul has been so indicted, been given an indictment. You will never ever try to interpret God again. I will let God interpret himself in my spirit, in my deep recesses of my heart. He's going to reveal himself there and dominate you, you natural mind, you idiot, you stupid dummy. That's how I look at my natural mind, as something that is so far away from God, it's pathetic. And I thank God I've learned how to give my spiritual part of my soul over to God apart from my natural mind, and God designed the plan to do it. Praise God. And every one of us have that victory. Now, not every one of us are called to teach. Not every one of us are called to draw that mind out. But your teachers are. Are you understand? But I got news. Every one of us have been called to understand the Word of God. Hallelujah. To recognize it when it is spoken right across the pulpit. Hallelujah. Or when the Holy Ghost speaks it right to your heart. You can recognize it right away. Hallelujah. But that requires humility on the part of your natural life. You're going to have to close it in humility because your thoughts are not God's thought. Your ways are not God's ways. Hallelujah. They just ain't there. Hallelujah. I don't care how you cough it up. It ain't there. Hallelujah. God's ways and God's thoughts come through your spirit by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Or you'll interpret God any way you want to. But when you learn how to turn your spirit over to God on a daily basis, look out. God's looking to reveal Himself to you. You're not looking to interpret Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is all about. This one verse set me so free. So free. So free. It set me so free. In verse 6, Paul said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect and mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which not one of the leaders of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, verse 10, when I had received the instruction of this by the Spirit, there was something that ignited in me that never ignited before. And how this particular verse had been so locked up from my understanding is because I had been told that verse 10 is referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look at the word for Spirit in this verse, you'll find that capital S on them. But this is based upon the fact of the interpreters. When the interpreters put it here, they put a capital S on it. They interpreted what spirit it was referring to. Are you following me? But in the Greek language, it is not so. It's all a small s. So your interpreters have to distinguish whether it's referring to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. Now, how many of you can agree, is there anything that is in the mind of God that the Holy Spirit would not know? No, He is omniscient. He's all-knowing. There is no lack in Him. Now, why would Paul take time to tell the church that it's the Holy Ghost that searches out all the things, yea, the deep things of God? If it's up to the Holy Spirit to do all the searching, that leaves you out and leaves Him in, and we'd all be spiritual giants. No, God gave you the right to choose, even in your spiritual growth. He gave you the right. Now, He knows that your natural soul has the ability or the capacity to understand some truths out of the Word of God, some truths. But the problem with the soul understanding some truths is the fact that it doesn't get to the heart of the issue. And God is after your heart at all costs. He's not after just your soul. He's after your soul and spirit. That is a part of you that will be eternally connected to God forever. Your soul is not going to dissipate and disappear one day. Your soul is going to be eternally connected to you as a spiritual being. He took that soul of yours that has no material. He housed it in material. But the thing is that that soul really dwells in your human spirit. And what He was saying here is that He says, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek language, not but for. For God revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And right away it dawned on me that it's my spirit that I have to turn over to God for searching. Not my soul and not my intellect, because He goes along and a little few verses later and says the psychikos, the natural soul, cannot distinguish or discern or comprehend what God's all about. The only way that your physical soul can understand what God's all about is that your spiritual part of your soul, the spiritual mind of you, has to dominate your natural mind. It has to dominate and it has to purge it. Hallelujah. And that's where purging comes in. It's good to understand that. And that's why you've got to understand what part of your mind is really being renewed. It is my spiritual mind that is being renewed. Yes, I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. But I got news for you. Even though my spirit has now made contact with God, it's still up to me in my natural mind as well as my spiritual mind. It's still up to me to make the decision to choose to go after God with my spirit, not my soul. Your soul is too fickle. It has, out of Romans 8, it tells us it has active hostility towards God on a consistent basis because it was trained by a prince ruler of this world. Now, some people talk about generational things, such as my parents raised me, such as so-and-so raised me. They give all these excuses, but really what it boils down to, what part of this world has not been programmed by the devil himself? He's the God of this world. He's directly connected by all wrong teaching. And that's why God took it out of the realm of the soul to bring you into understanding His Word by giving you a brand new spirit to can comprehend and search out the deep things of God. And thank God that when you use your spirit to go after God with, then you have given the Holy Spirit its greatest hour of glory, its finest work, by then setting up the drawing board in the classroom and telling your human spirit all about what God's all about. When you get into this scripture and you want to know what it's saying, the Holy Spirit shines when you learn how to give your spirit over to Him. I give my spirit, just praying in tongues only, I give it over to God every morning, 2 hours. Every morning I give it 2 hours. Just praying in tongues. I say, God, I offer my spirit to you apart from my intellect. I've got this language, this prayer language that you've given my inner man. And I'm going to make full use of it because the Holy Spirit is down on the inside of me forming these words. And I'm praying the perfect prayer up to you. I'm praying up the language that speaks apart from my intellect. And then it draws out the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it illuminates scripture right out of the word. And I get the spiritual understanding. And in my natural mind is totally dominated by it when it's birthed. Oh, glory to God. Now, you are spiritually what you are in the natural today, right now. That's what you are spiritually. Well, I don't like that identification. Neither did I. Because I see so much lack in me in the natural. It's because it's in you spiritually. When you start getting victories, then your spirit starts dominating your natural mind. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Excuses have got to go. We always make excuses why we aren't what we're supposed to be. You know what excuses do? It removes the Holy Spirit's ability to remove darkness in your life. And the darkness is found in your soul, not your your spiritual mind. Your spiritual mind just needs to be filled up with correct knowledge. And how that happens is through the Holy Ghost. Now, notice what he said in verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom." You know, I thought this was very interesting. This is not the Greek word lego. This is the Greek word laleo. Well, what's the difference between lego and laleo? Whenever the term lego is used, it means words that connect with other words in your comprehension. You know, your little kids have these toys they call legos. That's from the Greek language. And what you do is you connect all these little things together and you make an object. How many of you have little kids that got it? So you got these little Legos, and so you connect them all together. And what you build is you're taking Legos and you build an object. And so when you're through, you've got a complete understanding of that object. How many understand what I'm talking about? And so you've got this, well, race car or boat or whatever it is. You know, little Tristan has these little Legos, you know, and I help him put something together. Now we got to figure out something, you know, put something together. And so we got a boat, you know. I put something together that he understands, you know what I mean? But I thought it was very interesting. Zahiti said whenever the term laleo is used, it is a form of language that speaks apart from the intellect. Now, would you say that again, Pastor Butler? Yes, I will. Whenever the word laleo is used in Scripture, it means a language or a speech that is spoken apart from the intellect. It literally is referring to a talk at random apart from any form of understanding. That's what the word laleo means. And guess what word he uses here? Laleo. The word laleo, glossolalia, go together almost constantly. So whenever you hear the term laleo, you're referring to glossolalia, which literally means speaking in another language. And so what God did is, in pre-carnate Christ in heaven, he said, here's what we got to do. We've got to design a plan. And what we need to do also is design a plan and bring it about to where we're going to even give them a language that will leave their natural understanding out of it. And then they'll pray the perfect prayer out for us and we'll deposit it in their spirit. And in the minute that happens, your natural soul benefits from it. That's why a lot of times certain passages seemingly don't make any sense to me at all, but I quit trying to use my soul to figure them out. I come up with stupidity. But one day I got so frustrated, I said, God, I'm called to be a teacher in the body of Christ. No one's called, you know, not everyone's called to do this, but I got to be patient and let your mind come forth. And when he began to teach me how his mind come forth, man, I was so set free. But I got news for you. When his mind comes forth out of Scripture, it is so different than what a lot of you have even been taught. It's scary. Matter of fact, it was so scary I began to realize a lot of my mentors didn't have the Holy Ghost as their teacher. They had the glory of another man as their teacher, and it just passed on. Well, I got to find out if there's a ceiling on that man's life, then there's going to be a ceiling on my life. So I just said, well, one day I just made the decision. Well, God bless all these teachers, but I tell you what, Father, I'm making a decision right now. Unless I know the Holy Ghost is his teacher, I ain't going to pay attention to him. But if I know that the Holy Ghost is his teacher, then he's going to be my teacher. But I got news for you. I'm making a decision right now, today, that from this day forward, the Holy Spirit, whether it's in another man or whether it's in me, he's going to be my teacher. There's no ceiling on him, and I want my spirit to search out the deep things of God, not the Holy Ghost. Now, he goes on to say here, for God revealed to us through our spirit, is really the way you could translate it. For our spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? A mind did a good job of putting a small s there. Well, what it's saying is, the spirit of a man only knows what man feeds it until he gets born again. When a guy gets born again, then his spirit is set against his natural soul and his natural body. And you and I, we recognize it, but do we really recognize it? The day I got born again, don't ask me how I knew that I knew that I knew, but I knew right from wrong. How many of you sinned against God since you got born again? Can I see the honesty of your hands? Now, if you don't see that you've sinned against God since you've been born again, you're self-deceived. Because every one of us have. But what happened when I continued on in that sin once I got born again? Bells went off. Alarm systems went off. Everything in me said, wrong, 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 wrong. Don't do that. Stop, stop, stop. Welcome to the new birth. Over in Galatians, Paul says, hey, how did you guys get so caught up in deception? Did someone cast a spell over your soul? He says, don't you know that if you walk after the Spirit, all this mess will be straightened out? He says, you're biting, devouring each other. He says, what you need to understand is that the Spirit has a desire against your flesh and your flesh against the Spirit. That's what happens when you get born again. All of a sudden, what's wrong is wrong. Now, we try to interpret grace to get out of it, but you're going out of God rather than in God. So, he says down at verse 13, or verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, notice they put a small s on mine, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, Paul was telling us about that being the Holy Spirit. Boy, what a revelation we got. Paul is telling us that the Holy Spirit came from him and not of the world. Boy, what a revelation. We're smarter than that, people. Come on. He was talking about the new birth. When you got born again, you got a spirit now that has the capacity to search God out with. See, because that's what the Holy Spirit feeds. He feeds your spiritual mind to dominate your soul. And then we got ministers telling you to renew your soul. No, you renew your spiritual mind to freshness of understanding, and it automatically purges your soul. See? Boy, you got this truth, man. I'll tell you, it set you free. Because look what he says in verse 13. Seeing how we now have a spirit that is able to know the things freely given of God, because we don't have the spirit of the world anymore. How many of you got born again? You don't have the spirit of the world anymore. I got good news. God gave you a spirit now that can search out the deep things of God. He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, His job is to educate your spiritual man. But it's up to you to give your spirit over to God. That's where your choice comes in. Now notice this. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You mean also we speak, laleo, which we speak. I have a language that uncovers the hidden truths of God. I have this language in me that God gave me at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave me this language now that I have a spirit now that has the capacity to search out the hidden truths of God's Word. And all I have to do with my natural mind is just to simulate the Word of God. Don't try to interpret, assimilate it. Make my soul aware of the environment of the Word of God. There's a part of my soul that will comprehend, but there's a part of my soul that won't comprehend because it goes deeper than surface value. And so I just sit there and I use my natural soul, my natural mind, its understanding, not to try and interpret Scripture, but wait for the meaning to come forth, whether it'll come forth out of me or come forth out of a teacher in the body of Christ that qualified to bring forth that mind. Are you following me? And so, when I do that, I'm submitting my spirit to God and the agency of the Holy Spirit. What He does then, He interprets what I assimilate in my natural soul. Because when my natural mind assimilates the Word of God, my spiritual mind picks up on it at the same time. Are you following what I'm saying? But then I take this language and I pray it up before God. This words and stuff. I just pray it up in the Spirit because I'm assimilating that passage. And I say, God, I want to know what this passage is all about. And so I read the passage over and over and over again until all of a sudden my natural mind is so familiar with the passage, but it don't know how to interpret the Scriptures. Then when the Holy Ghost brings forth the truth, wow, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Now, some of you have experienced that. Wow, where did that come from? Wow. How did these scriptures... Wow, why didn't God ever show me this before? Because a lot of the body of Christ is still trying to get the mind of God with the soul. Now that I brought this up, turn over to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to close here. Mark 4. And my friend Mike touched on a little bit. And... we're just going to introduce this and then shut down. But this is the most phenomenal parable. Matter of fact, Jesus uses this parable to understand all parables. Now, Mark chapter 4 is a parable of the sower and the reaper. Mike touched on it a little bit. This parable is talking about two types of ground. Two types of ground. One ground has thorns and thistles. It's shallow. It has a hardness in it. Then there's another ground called the good ground. And both of these grounds are in us. Both of them. Now here, let me describe Mark 4 to you. And then we're going to start in chapter 3 and go through Mark 4. And next week we're going to go into detail on this parable now that I introduced to you again an understanding that you search God out with your spirit. Okay? Mark 4, in verses 14 through 19, write this down because I want you to read it, meditate on it for next Sunday. Verses 14 through 19 is talking about the operation of the realm of your carnal mind, the soul, your natural mind. Satan has access to your natural mind. And these verses clarify it. And then we're going to look at verse 21, is a candle brought? And that's referring to the new birth. Proverbs 20:27. That was a prophetic utterance of the New Testament. When he says the spirit of man will be the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That is your spirit that does the searching of the deep things of God. And so we'll stop there, and we'll get into even chapter 3, because what I've got to do is bring an understanding to you in Mark chapter 3 about the strong man. Now, people say the strong man is the devil in your life. Wrong. The strong man is your spiritual being. That is the strong man of your house. And if you learn how to use the Holy Ghost to empower your strong man or your inner man, you'll be able to shut down the operation of the deception of the devil in your life big time. But we got books now written, binding the strong man. They acquaint the strong man with the devil. I got news for you. The devil is not the strong man in your life. You're the strong man in your life. It's up to you what you want to do with your house. Hallelujah. And if you don't do something with your house, the devil will come in and just walk right all over you. Yep. Hallelujah. Yep. And I've learned that he ain't going to get away with that. When God's Word and the Holy Spirit connected to my inner being, my strong man of my house is my spirit. Hallelujah. That is the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest has gone in there. The devil can't get in there. Not even with doctrines of demons. The devil can't get into my spirit. Why? The high priest resides in there. Glory to God. And I got news for you. Whether you feel like it or not, the high priest is in your spiritual being. That is the Holy of Holies. That's where God is in your life. It's Christ in you that's the hope of any glory, not men. Are you free? I don't feel free. You're free. Well, prove it. We will. But you're free. You just got to get the understanding. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do our best to get you as much information about you as we possibly can so you are freed. Hallelujah. So that you're the destiny of your own life. So you get rid of excuses and move forward with God. Hallelujah. How many of you, I better not ask for your hands. If you feel just spiritually dead, spiritually dry, if you feel like you have no desire for prayer, if you feel like you just fed up with everything, you're tired, you're wiped out, it's because you're living your walk out through your natural mind and not your spirit. Because your spirit is willing. Why? You got God down in there. But you know, when you make a decision to turn from your spirit and go back to your natural walk with God in your soul realm, guess what's going to happen? You'll get complacent. You'll get indifference. Matter of fact, you'll pick up old vices. Why? Because you're entering back into the death that you came out of. What's that? Spiritual death, separation from God. And you know, you can make a deliberate act of separating your inner man from God even after you're born again. And if you, just like a natural child, all you got to do is quit feeding it. It'll die. It'll flat croak. Yeah, some Christians seem to think that just because I quit feeding my child, he'll live anyway. You know, that is so far from your understanding. You know as well as I do, if you have a little baby in your hands, like little Kylie Rae, my little daughter's little girl, and I have to feed her with a little bottle. Well, she lets you know when she's hungry. She has a little desire for tummy food. And she screams and hollers, doesn't she, Sue? And, wah, wah, and then stick that bottle in there. She goes, just as happy as a lark. Why? You get that food going in there. Well, I'll tell you what. You have an unquenchable thirst in your spirit for God. But you can bring a deception over it if you live more out of your soul realm than your spiritual realm. And you can have the best of both worlds. God didn't come into this world to take something away from you. He came into the world that sanctified you from it so He could give you back to it. Have life and have it more abundantly. Boy, I wouldn't live in that garbage can anymore. Somebody said, well, what do you mean by garbage can? My soul. I wouldn't want to live out of it any more than that. No thanks. It hurts when you make a decision to do that. It hurts your soul. Because it can't get away with what it wants to. You're not a bummer. For your natural body, it is. But for your spiritual life. Everybody stand up.